We have such a beautiful parable that we've heard many times and know well. I hope that as we hear it again today, we hear not only a word that has been proclaimed many times, but we hear the very voice of Jesus who speaks to us when the scriptures are proclaimed. He is here and he speaks to you now. So I want to ask you to pray for me that I won't get in his way, but that I'll be a voice for him. If you could pray for me for a moment, and I'll pray for you that you're able to hear in your hearts and his word can take root. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Gospel, the Lord, invites us to reflect on our own hearts and lives. How many times have you come to Mass? Some of you, I don't know what, thousands, hundreds of thousands of times that you've come to Mass. How much has the word taken root in your heart? That's what the Lord invites us to ask ourselves today. How much do we allow his word to take root in our hearts, in our lives, and to bear good fruit? How much do we allow that? What's the soil of our heart like? It's not a one-time answer. Anybody who's worked with soil knows that soil now and soil 10 years from now can be a very different thing. A farmer has to work hard to make rich soil remain rich soil. Even with crop rotation and with the proper fertilizers, natural or artificial or whatever. I'm not a farmer, so forgive me, but just by observation and conversation, I can tell you a little bit about soil. But we can't just say, well, there was a time in my life when the soil of my heart was rich. It's not the question. The question is, how is the soil of your heart today? Jesus tells us the danger of thorns. He interprets it for us. Worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. Just like a garden or a field, our hearts need to be weeded. We have to keep removing those thorns. Because aren't the anxieties that you have today different than they were 10 years ago? As we get older, we get different anxieties. We all get anxieties. But do we allow the anxieties to become thorns that choke the word? What are the anxieties that you allow to rule your life, to rule your thoughts, to rule your behavior? The Lord helps us to weed the soil of our hearts and to cut back those thorns. If we can see the anxieties, then one of the ways that we can trim them back is by confronting them with truth. Some of the anxiety comes when we have this feeling that we're all alone in this. Maybe it's a difficult time in your life. You can imagine someone who starts to face a sickness you haven't had to deal with before, or maybe a trouble with your children, or trouble with your school, trouble with your friends, parents, family you haven't had to deal with before, and you can start to feel so alone. And that anxiety starts to rise up, and we start to think about it a lot, and it consumes our thoughts, and it makes it hard to pray. Sometimes it makes it hard to be charitable. Sometimes it causes us to snap at people. That anxiety finds its way from our hearts and starts to strangle our throats a little bit, makes it hard to breathe at times. We have to confront that with truth. You're not alone. I love the very beginning of Jesus' parable. He says, a sower went out to sow. Who is the first actor in this parable? It's not us. The first actor in this parable is God. God is at work. God is already acting. God was not surprised by whatever anxiety-inducing situation has come up in your life. He's not surprised. He knew it was coming, and he already began to prepare for it. He began to prepare a grace that you could receive if you would turn to him. He already began to prepare a little dose of peace if you would bring the anxiety to him. He already began to prepare a friend or a spouse who can help you with it if you open up that anxiety to that person. God already is at work. Whatever you're going through, God is already at work. He's not surprised by whatever you're struggling with. He already has a plan. He's already sowing seed. He already sees the good fruit that you can produce in your life, 30 and 60 and 100-fold. As we heard in the prophet Isaiah in our first reading, when God sends his rain to the earth, it fulfills its purpose. What the Lord is doing in your life, he'll bring it to completion. And we can trust in that. And that trust starts to open up, starts to cut back the anxiety, and starts to open up our hearts to become more fertile soil, to be able to receive the Word of God. Sometimes those anxieties become the greatest blessings in our lives because they're finally the thing that drives us back to prayer. How easy it is to wander away because we feel like our life is so much already in our own hands. But part of the regular cultivation of the soil of our hearts is to come and pray, and to pray in a way that's fruitful, that actually focuses on what's happening here at Mass. For example, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see," how many have longed to see and have not seen it, to hear and have not heard it? Blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. How many generations did they long to hear the voice of God? And we are the ones who hear his voice. We are the ones who see his face and to receive him in his body and blood. How precious is this opportunity? And even if you've gone to Mass 100,000 times, we need to renew the experience today. You've never gone to Mass this evening before. It's the first time. Let it be the first time that you see him, that you meet him, that you hear him. To pray in a way that is fruitful, that's efficacious. To pray in a way that we really give ourselves, not half-heartedly. It's as easy for me as for anybody else. In fact, it's probably easier for me because I spend a lot more time, I'm sure, in church than everybody else. God help me. I have less of an excuse, and yet it's easier for me to be more distracted. How many times have I gone to pray Vespers with the monks and I spent the entire half an hour thinking about some other problem that I need to solve? It's easy for us to allow our minds to wander, our attention to wander, ho-hum, go through the motions, out the door. We're already thinking about where our car is and where I'm going after Mass and what I'm going to have to eat and what the next thing is that's going on and how I'm going to spend my day tomorrow. And don't do it. We're all tempted. Give your mind to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. Give this time to the Lord. It's not too long. That cuts back the anxiety. It deepens the soil. It prevents us from being shallow ground. It's so easy to become shallow in our faith. The Lord pours out the richest seeds on us, and they do nothing because we don't really give him our attention, because we don't really let him be the Lord of our life, which is what he wants to be, which is what we most deeply need. So as we witness a miracle on this altar, in fact, it is the greatest miracle. If someone were to rise from the dead now, it would not be as great a miracle as what we experience on this altar. As we're about to experience this miracle, let him do miracles in your life. Invite him into your anxieties. Hand him your struggles. Give him your problems. And believe he has a plan. He's already at work. And he wants a good harvest for you. The harvest is joy and peace and love, kindness and gentleness, patience. The harvest is the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to do that starting now in each person's life who is here.